Would this be your lasting legacy then, the both of you, as you think about how would you like people to remember both of you?
Well, yes and no. I'm a mad animal lover from the get-go. As a child, there wasn't an animal that I didn't rescue from some form or another. Unfortunately, when I was quite young, I came upon the end of a fox hunt in England, which was very popular. And I was so disturbed at what I saw and the screams and cries of the animal being killed that I determined I was going to try to do something about this when I grew up. So my goal through life, from the early beginning life, was always to help any animals and all animals in distress and need and everything else. So we formed the Seminole Humane Society here. We've got a spay neuter program going. We pick up the spay neutering for the animal if it is adopted from our local shelter, which I helped build. We've done a number of things in the animal lines because I'm so determined to see them have a better life than the existing life of living in a backyard on a chain.
Well, then, between two of these entities then, the Humane Society and the Children's Museum.
We fight each other over the money.
Seminole is a very unique little city. It has amenities that no other city our size that we know of has. We have a lot of really wonderful people here who have made it a wonderful place to live, and the community has been wonderful to us, so we want to give back. And the Children's Museum is just one of those ways that we hope we're giving back.
And I can't imagine the economic impact it's had on this town, and I'm not sure that a study has been made of that, but you know it has to be huge, because not only will they come here and fill up their tank with gas, they'll have dinner, they'll have lunch, they'll stay in motels. So a study needs to be made of this.
Virtually every retail store owner that I've talked to has said thank you for the customers that have come in who are coming here to visit the museum. So I think it has made a significant impact, but no, we have not made a study.
I just to say, you and Judge Robert Henry have a long relationship, don't you?
Ever since the show Manifold Seasons that Jadman was in, my part in that is I was Jasmine's chauffeur, and I took her to all the rehearsals, and as a result, I got acquainted with all of the cast. Jasmine and I both bonded with two of the members of the cast, with Judge Robert Henry, who was the new president of Oklahoma City University, and with Gerald Adams, who was the governor's chief of staff, and they both had parts in the show. So we've been great friends ever since, and Robert has been on the board almost from the beginning and has been extremely helpful, although he was one of those who didn't ever expect it to go either.
As a result of that friendship, you've been invited to his house and you've met some notable people.
Right.
And there's a story how you met Vice President Al Gore's father at Judge Henry's house. And Senior Gore told a story which was before the atomic bomb was dropped in Japan. Can you tell us that story?
Well, initially, one day I had a call from Robert's secretary. And this was during the presidential election when Senator Al Gore was running for president, as was Bill Clinton. Robert's secretary called and said that Senator Gore is going to be at Robert's home on Saturday. He would like for you to come and meet him. I thought to myself, it'd be kind of neat meeting a presidential candidate. So I went to Oklahoma City and immediately found out that it was not Senator Al Gore, the presidential candidate. It was Senator Al Gore, the father of the presidential candidate. He was also from Tennessee. He was very prominent in Congress. He was the Democratic leader of the Congress when he was a U.S. Senator. However, when I met him, he was 84 years old and out campaigning for his son. There were about maybe 10 of us there. He was telling us the story about one day he was called by President Roosevelt, as well as other leaders of Congress, including Albert Barkley, who was the Speaker of the House from Texas, and other leaders of Congress to come to the president's office. The president said, I have just received a letter from Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein said the Nazis are working on a terrible new weapon, and if the Nazis are able to corral and develop this weapon before the Allies do, Germany is going to win the war, and you must do it first. So the president said to these legislative leaders, I want you to appropriate the money for us to do this work, and no one on earth must know what we're doing, and appropriate the money in some obscure bill so no one will know. The legislative leaders did as the president asked. Then fast forward to 1945, Senator Al Gore, Sr., and two other senators were on a fact-finding trip, and they went to Guam. Senator Gore commented, he said, when we landed there in Guam, he said there were troop ships and troops everywhere as far as you could see. General Stilwell was in charge of the forces in that part of the world, and General Stilwell took the three senators to his office. On the wall of his office were maps. General Stilwell pointed to these maps and said, on such and such a date, which was like 2 or 3 weeks from the day the generals were there, he said, we will be invading Japan. These are the points that we are going to land to invade Japan. And Senator Gore said, I asked General Stilwell, what kind of casualties do you expect? And General Stilwell said, we expect to lose 500,000 men. He said, the Japanese are fierce fighters, and we think we're going to have to kill 1 million Japanese. A few days later, the same three senators went to the Philippines where General MacArthur was. General MacArthur took them into his office and said, Senators, by the time you get back to the United States, to the mainland, the war is going to be over. And the senators didn't know what to think. One general said, we're about to invade Japan and expect to lose 500,000 men. And the other general said, the war is about to be over. A few days later, they landed in San Francisco. And there was a newsman at the airport where they landed. And on the front page of the San Francisco Chronicle, the letters were so big, there were only three words on the whole page. It said, atom bomb dropped. Senator Gore said, until that moment, I never heard the word atom bomb. He said, I helped get the money. That was the first that I knew about the atom bomb. He said, then, by the time we got back to Washington, the headline was Japan Sues for Peace.